5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. Duh!
The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is the new Panic Room, episode 261 on the bloody date. It's the 27th of January 2022. And, you know, I mean... You know, 27 days of the new year, and I'm sick of it already. So there's that. I want to dedicate this show to Mr. Clark Kelly of Houston, who ran into the back of my car on Tuesday, and clearly is far too important to have insurance. So fuck you, Mr. Kelly. I hope you rot in hell. Anyway, speaking of jolly things, and I know he's listening. I know he's listening because obviously, you know, everyone in Houston listens in. So I think at the end of the show, I might give out his address and phone number as well. So all our fans can pop round and say good evening to him. But anywho, enough of that. We missed her last week. We didn't have a show last week. And I think we need to. well with it. Yeehaw, and even you, Xtina. How are you this evening? I'm trying to sound jolly, but I've had an absolute pig of a week on top of a rough week, on top of not a very good week, on top of the first week of the new year's a bit crap. So really, you know, for 2022, I would like a refund, please. It's just been But on the plus side, there's some positive things happened. More than likely, not to me, but you know, it's not all been grim. We were chatting before we came on. I finally, thanks to, and I'm going to name check, and the fine people at Fleur Fine Books in Galveston and Port Neches, finally getting my hands on a couple of signed Stephen King first editions. So
that's awesome.
A little bit excited by that, obviously, because, you know, it's, I'm trying to expand my signed collection. Richard Chismar's promised to send me one as well, bless him. And so I'm going to take a leaf out of your book, because
I love my shelf. I do.
Free books off everyone, which is fine. I mean, I know we've got Ramsey Campbell coming up. You know, we've got some good people coming up. So, we want signed copies from these people. Because at the moment, my collection's really, it's in its infancy. But I've got a Chuck Palahniuk. I've got Clive Barker, James Herbert, who's like my first literary hero is James Herbert. And there is another one in there somewhere, but obviously Steve King's a big one, so I'm excited by that. How about you? What sort of week have you had?
Well, I have to say that I do have good news, because you know we canceled our show last week because the boyfriend had been so ill. I mean, it started before Christmas, and it just, you know, he'd get better, a little bit better, and then go downhill, a little bit better, go downhill. He was on medication.
With my usual brand of sympathy, he was just playing it up, to be honest. He's put attention-seeking.
I know. He never missed any work at all throughout the whole thing. But, it had gotten so bad that I would lay awake at night and just, you know, think, oh, my God, what, you know, it was scary. It got super, super scary. I mean, you know, when it's your breathing, that something's messing with your breathing, that's a really scary thing.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely,
And then, you know, I think that in the back of our heads, we were both, you know, I wonder if it could be the bird, you know. But I was, you know, looking up stuff online, and they had this bird pneumonia. But I'm like, that's only if the bird is sick and the bird doesn't appear to be. So I'm like, it can't be that. And then, we had to rehome the birdie. And I loved him.
Tell the listeners, who did you consult?
I consulted you.
It was me, wasn't it? I cracked the case. Yes. There you go. It's fine. Three years of university wasn't wasted, obviously.
It wasn't. But no, he has been steadily getting better since we rehomed our birdie. And yes.
But birdie's okay. You didn't feed him to the snake or anything. He's went to a good home.
He did. And I get little videos of him chirping. So it makes me happy it did. It broke my heart. And when we walked away and left him, I was crying. I was had tears, and I was just like, and I was so afraid he was never going to sing again. That was my worst fear, you know, because he just chirps and he sing. And I was
happy. He was a happy little bird. Yes, he was.
So I get videos now of him chirping, so it makes me happy. But the boyfriend is doing so much better. He hasn't had a breathing treatment in like 2 days. He doesn't even know where the inhaler is. So he's definitely
that's
much
great,
better.
So his memory's gone then, that's what you're saying?
Now he likes to joke around. Who knew it was so easy to kill me?
Yeah, just get a canary in, yeah. See, I hate to say, it just reminds me, actually, it's a funny thing. I mean, just you know, I joked, obviously, about feeding it to the snake. I know back in the day we used to have pet rats, and obviously we had the snakes back then. And it was because we would buy frozen rats to feed to the snakes. But yet when the pet rat died, we buried it.
It's not the same.
No, you can't. No, they got a decent burial.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Definitely. But that's pretty much, I mean, for the last couple of weeks, I think I've been in this like brain fog because of, you know, just how sick the boyfriend had gotten. So so happy to be able to tell everybody he's doing so much better and yay. And yeah, so that, I think that's all my news basically is that, because I was just so distraught and very, we don't cancel the shows around here lightly, so... Yeah.
No, we do not. But you know, for that. But I'm obviously on the mend. That's it. And of course, you know, it wasn't COVID, was it?
It was not. It was a canary.
No. So there's a lesson learned for our listeners. You know, don't be afraid of COVID. Be afraid of birds. Be very, very afraid of the birds, because we've all seen the Alfred Hitchcock documentary about birds. You know what they're capable of.
I love the documentary. Yeah,
it was a good documentary, actually, with a little Tippi Hedren in there. So I think they made. I have a feeling they made a god awful remake. I mean, they usually do, but
no way.
I'd put money on they've made some sort of terrible remake of the birds. But
we did watch two scary movies over the weekend. And now I can't remember what they were. But if, you know what? When I remember, I'm going to shout it out, no matter what's happening. I'm just going to shout it out. Yeah,
you do that. But in the meantime, what have we? I presume we've got something going on in the show. Is it just you blethering on, forget about what you've forgotten in the past week?
No. I'm really super excited about our first guest. And I thought we had him on before. So I actually messaged him one day and I'm like, why haven't you been on the Panic Room? And he was basically like, I'm not interested. And I was like, ouch. And then he proceeded to tell me he thought it was like some kind of escape room. So then I felt a little better. I'm like, no, it's a podcast. And then he said he'd love to come on. So, yeah. I thought that was a great story. Because, you know, at first of all, it's like, no, I'm not interested. And, man, my feelings were so hurt there. So,
I know. I've been well upset. Yeah. Oh, bless. Well, you know, and it's funny because last year before, we had that very confused woman phone in. And she thought it was mental health podcast, but she was great. Yes. We should have got a number. She should have had a regular feature like Mental Health Corner. We could have called it, but you know, she never did. But, yes, I rather feel we do. But and then of course we have the lovely Samantha Hawkins.
The lovely Samantha Hawkins.
I'm looking forward to. So I think without further ado, we need to get somebody more interesting on. So let's get our first guest on.
All right, our first guest of the evening is New York Times bestselling suspense novelist, 5-time Bram Stoker Award winner, and comic book writer Jonathan Mabry. Woo!
Hello.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Hi. How you doing? We're good. How are you, sir?
Good, but I don't remember actually saying that I wasn't interested or go away or however you phrase it. I just didn't remember being on it, and I really did think it was one of those escape room things, which I'm not a fan of, actually. But
Yeah, you know, I'm with you, Jonathan. I mean, I've been dragged along to a few, and it's, you know, it's fun and that. No, it's hard work. is what it is. And my idea of fun is not having to sort of think and puzzle things out. No.
I don't mind the hard work part of it. The times I've done it, the people don't cooperate, and sometimes they just don't apply logic. And I'm too much of a ethical thinker to want to do it just for the fun. I do roller coasters for the fun.
No, I'm with you. I don't know if you're a fan of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They did a great episode in a panic room. It was when basically they just broke out. They just chanted the door and said, we've won, we've got out. And it's like, well, but that's not the point. No, the point is to escape, and we've escaped. You know, but it was brilliant. Yeah. It's very well done. So there you go.
To me, that's like plotting one of my novels. It was too much like my day job. My day job is writing weird, but thrillers and horror novels. So I don't want to go and be entertained doing essentially what my day job is.
Well, I'm with you. My idea of fun. Yeah, roller coasters. Obviously for crawfish, a good crawfish dinner. You know, I mean that. You know, a few beers. that's kind of where I'm at. Not having to. I'm with you. I don't have to think. I want to just switch my brain off and just do that. But there you go. that's just trash. Panic rooms for everyone. Spoil them for everyone.
I think we just build a case for being brainless, but I'll stand by this late today.
So. I'm delighted. I'm proud. I'm proud to be brainless. Yes.
No, same thing. When I'm done work, if I could find the off switch for my brain, I would just blob out.
You know, I've always been a big TV fan. I sort of grew up around the TV. For me, I only discovered this, I suppose, or realized it relatively recently, that TV is my off switch, is my put my brain in neutral. And I can sit and watch pretty much anything. And it's just that is the one thing where even when I'm sleeping, my brain's working. But so I want to stick a TV show on and it's just into neutral and just right, entertain me. I don't have to think. And I love that. That's great.
Yeah. I'm 50-50 with that.
Me and
TV is just relaxing. But the other half, I'm actually, studying the form of it, because I've had a TV show. I have four things in development now. So I kind of want to level up so that if I get asked to write for TV, I won't be caught flat-footed.
No, when you're in that mode, it can spoil it a little bit. In fact, I watched the new Bond film the weekend, actually. And it was great, but of course he was just sort of deconstructing it. And whoever wrote, it was good. I mean, it was a good Bond film, but they stood out, the clunky one-liners that they used to give Roger Moore. And they kind of put these in. It's like, no, don't. It just seemed right. It was just, like you say, you pick up on those things, and it can spoil these things, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Us in Get Out. Those are the two scary movies that I watched over the weekend.
Thank you, Xtina. Thank
you
for that.
You're welcome. Did you guys watch those? Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Us in Get Out. I enjoyed them. I did.
Yeah, I thought Get Out was good. I thought the ending was a little bit forced. It was forced.
I guess I would say that, Go ahead, Jonathan.
I said I enjoyed them both, but, sometimes you can see the carpentry, and that's one of the problems of being a writer. You kind of know how it's going to end before it gets there, so... Mm-hmm. That makes it a bit of a problem. With Get Out, I didn't see the ending coming as precisely as I did when I was watching the other one.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I have to say, I enjoyed both of them. Yeah, the past couple, I don't know, weeks, maybe months, we've been, me and the boyfriend have been winding down with a nice, wonderful round of, Mortal Kombat. And the game, I think we have, what is it, Mortal Kombat 11, I think is the one. And Now, he always plays the Terminator, and I'm always one of the chick players. And there's this one sequence or whatever that happens when the Terminator guy turns into that the metal guy, you know, the metal dude.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it scares the crap out of me. I start screaming. I mean, you can feel my heart pounding out of my chest. And I say some really weird things. Like the other day, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I'm just, like, screaming it. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I can't handle this. It's just awful. So, you know, we try to wind down at night with these video games, and it just amps me up. I don't even know why. Like, it's not going to really kill me in life, but I just feel like it's going to. You know, I feel like this is it for me.
I think the game designers will be delighted to hear that.
Yeah, I think so too. I do, but man, you know,
probably the worst thing you can do to wind down for bed. Seriously, I can't think of anything less appropriate to try and get you calm for bed than that. You fool.
You know. You might have a point there. We might have to reevaluate our nightly routine.
Well, you need a nice cup of cocoa and a Jane Austen novel. That'll do it.
Aw, that sounds really sweet. It does.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But, speaking of novels, though, Jonathan is here to talk to us about his book, Empty Graves, Tales of the Living Dead. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's actually a collection of my zombie short stories from a number of different sources, including one that was written by request. Ray Romero had asked me to write one of the stories for an anthology he and I were editing together, and he wanted me to take a character from one of my novels, Fall of Night, and write the story that brings him to the house and made the living dead. So that's in there, and the sequel to it is in there. It has a foreword by Ken Foree, who played Peter in the original Dawn of the Dead. And it's fun. And two of the stories have been optioned for possible films. And that's exciting too.
That's fantastic,
I love zombies. I really do. I didn't think I would. I remember back when The Walking Dead, when it came out, I remember thinking, I don't really like the zombies too much, but I ended up loving that show. I don't like the fast zombies. They scare the crap out of me, which, you know, it's not hard to scare me, but.
No, it is not.
Also, it is the point. I mean, scaring people is kind of the point. So if you're scared, then that's the whoever wrote it. But I've always loved zombies. When I was 10 years old, I snuck into the movies to see the world premiere of Night of the Living Dead. So I've had, a zombie attachment ever since, since I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And which makes me
really lucky. One of the first... in England, there's X-rated movies. They felt that it was the second one I saw. The first was Alien. The second was the original Dawn of the Dead. I mean, that's how old I am. We were, I think, 15 at the time. We snuck in to see it, but it's still, even now, I if I come across it, I will sit and I will watch. I actually have a copy. Sometimes I'll dig it out and I'll just watch it. And it still stands. To be fair, the 80s was filled, all the movies were filled up, god-awful synthesizer music, which was terrible. But even with that, it still stands up. It's still, and I read the book, obviously, the novelization of the movie, and brilliant, absolutely. Yeah, so I'm with you, Jonathan. I'm hooked on zombies from that moment on.
Yeah, and also the reimagining of Dawn of the Dead by Zack Snyder, I thought was, that the unrated director's cut of that is my favorite zombie film of
all time.
It's a fantastic soundtrack.
It's
an awesome film. Great production values.
I'm not a fan. I mean, I think 99% of the remakes in the past how many years have just been terrible. I mean, I'm thinking that Poltergeist and Pet Sematary and all, just bloody awful. But yeah, you're right. The Dawn of the Dead was... The Night of the Living Dead was good because they remade that with Tony Todd, I believe. They were good. You know, I guess Romero kept a hand in there and made sure they didn't make a hash of them. And they remade Day of the Dead, which was, again, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So at least they didn't put them up.
I thought the remake of Day of the Dead was really terrible. But the remake of Night of the Living Dead, I love. You know, Tom Savini is a friend of mine. You know, directed it, and Pat Holman played Barbara, and she's another friend. And so it's kind of fun to see movies where, you know, people that you know who love the subject matter, who respect the source material, you know, really put their heart and souls into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had the what were those ones that 48 hours, another, I don't remember the numbers, you know, when
oh,
20, 28, 28
days, yeah, 28
there
days.
There you go,
28
days, yeah.
Later,
yeah.
They were good, yeah.
A little bit of trivia for you, though. 28 days later and 6 weeks later are not zombie films, they are infected films. And that genre was also created by George Romero with a film he did in 1972 or three called The Crazies.
Oh, brilliant film.
So he created not only the zombie genre, he created the infected genre. And
the two are pretty close. But yeah, I remember seeing the original Crazies late one Saturday night when I was a kid, and that was just phenomenal. Yeah, you say the recent one with it was Timothy Oliphant, wasn't it? They did a brilliant job, and I like about original one was the bleak ending, and it was to say it mirrored the bleak ending at the end of Night of Living Dead was just. You don't have to have the happy ending. You know, it can still be a damn good film. Yeah, but both brilliant genres, and you know, credit to Romero for being the brainchild behind both of them.
Yeah, and it was an honor to wind up working with him and becoming friends with him. The book we did together was the last thing he completed before he died.
Oh wow! Yeah.
It was an anthology called Nights, plural, Nights of the Living Dead. All stories set in the 48 hours around Night of the Living Dead. And so when I did Empty Graves, you know, it was partly an homage to that and partly, new material because I've about a fifth of the novels I've done are zombie novels. I've written 42 novels, so about a fifth of them are zombie books.
Oh, wow. And, awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Empty Graves, I think Jonathan has an excerpt for us. Do you need to set it up or just go into it?
Just real quick, the setup for it is this. I have a series of books called The Rotten Ruins, about growing up after the zombie apocalypse. And this is a backstory, short story I wrote as a backstory to one of the characters. And it also appears in Empty Graves, you know. But, and it's pretty short, but it gives you an idea of the flavor of this. It's two little girls, one's 11, one's younger, who have been captured and taken into these games where adults put kids in pits and make them fight zombies so other kids can bet on it. And the girls are trying to escape. So this is the opening of the story called Sisters.
Okay.
It rained the day the world ended. That's how she remembered it. The rain fell cold and hard that day and every time the world ended. For Lila, there wasn't just one apocalypse. They kept happening to her, and each time it was raining. The first time was when she was little, too little to really understand what was happening. She was just learning to speak, barely able to walk, hardly able to form the kind of memories that could be taken out later and looked at. She remembered a woman's face, her mother's, but Lila didn't really understand what that meant. George, the guy who raised her, had to explain it to her later. Lila remembered her mother holding her and running, and other people holding her and running, and the monsters chasing, grabbing, tearing, taking, biting, always. One of them had bitten Mom. Lila had seen it happen, but didn't know what the bright colors and loud shrieks meant. Not then, not until later. She remembered the house where her mother and the other grown-ups had hidden. She remembered her mother screaming, Mommy with her big swollen belly screaming. And then Annie was born. Lila didn't understand birth either, or the death that followed, or what happened when Mom woke up. She saw what the others did, though. She understood it on some level that ran so deep, age didn't matter. She screamed louder than the newborn Annie. She screamed louder than the people who swung the clubs and pipes as Mom tried to bite them. She screamed so loud it made her spit red. After that, Lila didn't have much of a voice, a whisper. The first words she learned to speak were said in that whisper, and every word since, every single word. It had been raining that night, the drops thudding on the roof and tapping on the windows and knocking on the door. The rain hissed in the trees outside, courted it without having labels for any of those things. Despite the rain, those memories were burned into her. She was too young for any of it, but the world ended anyway. So that's the opening of that story.
Wow. When you make out the signed copy, that's XTINA.
I'll do that.
Yay, I love zombies. And, you know, to have little girls and being chased by zombies, you know, don't you know you're not supposed to, like, hurt the little children? I mean, isn't that like a rule in horror that you don't touch the kids?
A rule that I break a lot. When I write young adult novels, and nobody is really safe. And, I've killed off some characters that I still get hate mail from people who read the books as kids. Like, why did you kill that person off? And it's like, why do you think I killed that person off?
Oh, yeah, you know, I think that authors that do that, do you laugh? Do you just laugh to yourself? Or, you know, I mean, that's what I picture.
It's funny, I don't. There was a character in that series that when I was sitting in a Starbucks writing the scene, I had tears running down my face when I was writing it because I become emotionally attached to my characters.
Yeah.
So when one of them has to leave the story, I grieve. Mm-hmm. I absolutely grieve.
I definitely get that, and I think that especially if it's a character that you've, you know, even if it's a bad guy, you know, you're attached to the characters, and you know, we have discussed on the show that, you know, I think everything we write has a piece of us, you know, I mean, a piece of our personality, or, you know, so I mean, you would get attached to them, so,
building your personalities that, you know, mm-hmm. even the bad ones are still complex. They're people rather than characters, and there is a connection to them.
Mm-hmm. I love to ask this question because we definitely have some authors who, when you're writing, you finish the book, you're done with that one. Do you automatically go right to chapter one of the next thing you're writing, or do you take a little break and kind of, I don't know, distance yourself from it?
The most I'll take as a break is walking the dog because, I'm a full-time writer writing four this year. To give you an idea, this year I'm writing four novels. I'm editing four anthologies, and I am editing four issues of Weird Tales magazine. I don't have time to take a break.
Yeah, I'm exhausted just thinking about that. When do you schedule in your nap time? I mean, geez.
You know, it's funny. I try to work 9 to 5. It's just I'm very efficient at the job. You know, I write 3,000 to 4,000 words a day. And, mm-hmm. you know, I don't waste my time. Because it's my actual job, wasting time mm-hmm. means, you know, wasting money, wasting opportunities, getting in my own way. I don't want to do that. And I don't buy into a lot of the mythology that writers, you know, do, where you have to wait for the muse and all that stuff. That's a bunch of horseshit. You know, draft and share and write it. And if it's not right, fix it and rewrite. But don't labor over it like, you know, it's something magical. It's talent, it's insight, some natural gifts, but, you know, the only people mm-hmm. who get writer's block are the people who are not doing this for a living. because we know that there's a solution to every single kind of block you can ever get.
I like that. Do you do you write more than one book at a time, or is it solely one project?
I write one novel at a time, but I have to budget in. I do a novel about every 3 months, but I have to budget in time to edit anthologies, to write short stories, sometimes write comic books because I write for Marvel, IDW, Dark Horse, and other companies, and also to edit magazines. So everything gets budgeted in terms of time, but I only do one novel at a time. Now, one thing about that, I will research the next novel while I'm writing one.
Now, sorry. Another question that I love to ask the authors that we have on, and it's just a kind of random one. Do you have a favorite Stephen King novel?
Yes. I have a two-part answer. My favorite Stephen King full novel is Salem's Lot. I think it's brilliant. There's a short novel. I'm not sure whether it's a novella or a novel. It's in that range. But it's my favorite work he ever did, and it's The Mist.
I think that was
a novella, wasn't it? Part of one of his collections.
It is, but it's so long that I think it might be over 40,000 words. But he calls it a novella, so I'll let him call it what he wants.
I'm not sure how the nomenclature works. I mean, it could be a novelette or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it is good, and the movie. It's one of my favorite movies. Again, it must be me and the bleak endings. I just like the bleak endings, but it was incredibly well done. It was a good creature movie. It was Stephen King, with obviously it had all the characters, your regular Stephen King characters, and it was what he did best. It was a bunch of, ill-matched people stuck in a confined space. It was very well done.
It was really well done. Frank Darabont did a fantastic twist on the ending of the book. But a lot of the actors who are in that are in a lot of Stephen King movies, and a lot of those actors went on to be in The Walking Dead because Frank Darabont did that after he did this.
Yeah. Oh, so he brought them all. I didn't know. That's brilliant. It goes to show, I mean, the old adage, it's who obviously works.
Yeah, and both Frank Darabont and Stephen King both like working with character actors rather than big, marquee leading names. And it shows because the character actors really can become the character. And I thought The Mist was a really well-done film, and I just listened to Will Patton read it on audio. It's just brilliant.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I read Joyland over the summer, and I chalked that right up to one of my favorites. I think I like his non-horror actually probably a little bit better than his horror. I love the whole coming of age thing. I thought that was so great. When I finished it, I think I had tears in my eyes. It's just great. I thought it was wonderful. And of course, my absolute favorite is The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. And again, that's not, really horror. And I don't think there's any supernatural element at all in that one.
No, no.
And,
he's just imagining the debate paper. And I think they're making the film.
I heard that.
It doesn't get a lot of love, which is a shame. I'm glad you mentioned it. It doesn't get a lot of love, but it's a really good book.
I love it. I've read it a few times, and I love it. And I would definitely want it. I remember another one of my favorites was always Gerald's Game. So when I heard it was a movie, I was so skeptical because I was like, how could they make that into a movie? There's so much that takes place in her head. So I was so surprised, and I enjoyed the movie. I thought it lived up to the book, so I was very happy with that. So I'll definitely be excited for The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon. So,
Steve's a nice guy.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, you know, we keep trying to get him to come on the show, but
yeah,
I'll keep trying.
But he is a real sweetheart of a guy, very down to earth, very good guy, and I really like him.
Yeah. So what are you working on right now, Jonathan?
Right now, I am on the second of a new series that I'm doing of epic fantasy. The first book, Pig in the Dam, comes out May 10th. And it's, you know, swords and sorcery, a little bit of Cthulhu-esque stuff thrown in there. And I had a blast writing it. Got real strong support from a couple of my favorite writers, including Michael Moorcock, who generally doesn't give cover blurbs, and he really loved the book. So I was really happy about that.
Wow.
And I'm doing the sequel now, which is due in about a month, and I'll have it done by then, and I'll jump right into the next novel, which will be the 13th in my Joe Ledger thriller series.
Mm. Series are so exciting to me. I love, just getting to know the characters. And I think that when you have a long series like that, it makes you feel like you know them so well, and they're like family. And I definitely have like James, we've talked about before with James, and he thinks he would get tired of writing the same, you know, the same characters. But I think sometimes you find a certain, you know, set of characters or your character, and they don't stop talking. So I don't think you really have much of a choice but to, keep writing them.
Yeah, and also, you know, when fans get so into a character that they – are constantly asking you when's the next book, that kind of amps up your excitement about it too. You see through their eyes how the series is still fresh. I mean, I have fans,
definitely,
quite a few of them actually, who will reread all the books in a series when the new one comes out. And
gosh.
They'll read 12 books when the 13th comes out in the end of the year. It's nuts. Plus, you know, we've done short stories and everything else with the same character. You do get to know them as people, and you don't want to stop telling stories about them because they're talking to you in your head.
Definitely. I had it was actually a romance series that I used to read years and years ago, and I would do that. I would start at the beginning every time she had a new book come out. By the time there was like 40, I was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. So I did have to stop. But it was so much fun. And even now, I mean, I haven't read the romance in quite a while, but when I do see, you know, she's coming out with a new book, I will, you know, read the blurb just to see what's happening to, you know, my favorite characters, because they become more than characters. You know, they're
yep.
You're like, oh, I get to see what Eve's doing. So, yeah, definitely. It's I love series. So. But, Jonathan, I thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so glad that you agreed, even though you thought it was an escape room. And and you have to promise to come back.
I would love to. Yay! This is a lot of fun.
And real quick before we let you
really
go, I'll be stalking you to come back on. But tell us real quick where we can find you online.
Okay, I'm everywhere online as long as you spell my last name right. It's Mabery, Jonathan Mabery. Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and my website is jonathanmabery.com. So, you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And for all of our listeners, go out there and buy Empty Graves by Jonathan Mabery. And I can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks so much.
Take care, guys.
Absolute
Take
pleasure.
Care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, time, yeah, it is. Time has beaten us as it usually does. So I think we need a break. Time for a new box of wine for Xtina and a big old wee for me. So highlight of the evening. And we will be back.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. Children living like lovers, roll
Well, indeed. Welcome. Are you still there, Xtina?
I am. I was just thinking about, you know, how I confessed earlier to still getting nervous when the break happens and, you know, I think you're not going to be there. I'm like, one of these times he's going to be there, but he's going to, like, you know, make me believe he's not and have me all panicked. And
It crosses my mind every week to do that. And I will. I will one day. I don't think we, because obviously we missed the show last week. Top announcement, which, you know, I told the kids and they really weren't bothered, but it's a big thing for us. And it's funny, listening to the intro, the beginning of the show, and for the longest time, and I don't think everybody else has spotted it, that the guy, very talented voice guy who did that, says hellboundbooks.com, which is not the website. Finally, after 6 years of patiently looking and waiting year in, year out, I managed to buy hellboundbooks.com. So there will be, I just need to wait for it to transfer over and then I'll get it pointed. So yes, I hope it will match the jingle finally after 6 years.
Better late than never. Now I love
that. You know, that's what they say. That's what they say. But and it was kind of funny because the way it happened, because I knew it because there was a company, Hellbound Books, before. They predate us. I mean, you know, they were went out of business years before we even began. I didn't even know they existed. So obviously somebody had kept the domain name. Obviously then it lapsed and blah, blah, blah. And I got an email from, there's these companies, I guess, that shop around, and I got this email saying, oh, are you interested in buying it? And I thought, well, either they've bought it speculatively, but what would I do? What I would do is find out if somebody wanted to buy it, then I'd buy it. So I thought, okay, fine. So that means it's up for grabs. So then I did it. This guy trying to pre-sell me, I thought, let me have a look. I did a bit of digging and boom. GoDaddy has a really good auction. That cost me $5 to join the auction part of their site. Uh-huh. And got it for an absolute, these people, I know the last time we were offered it, it was like $600 or $700. And I got it for a lot less than that. So, and now it's ours. Nice. So, you know, that, ladies and gentlemen, is, you know, how sad my life is now. That has been the highlight of my year so far. Really says a lot about my life, to be honest.
No, you know, I have to say, through all the, you know, the crap that, you know, everybody, we've gone, that the whole world has gone through in these past couple of years, you know, our show and Hellbound Books, that has been there. You know, that's something that, you know, we've always had to look forward to. And so, you know, there'll always be that.
Right,
you know, we've always had, like, a shining.
Yeah, you're right. We've seen them come and we've seen them go. And there's a lot of the indie publishers who were around when we started ain't there no more. And a lot who've popped up in the last 6 years, they ain't there no more. I mean, there's some new people on the scene. You know, best of luck to them. It's not an easy. People think it's easy. You know, I'll start the old publisher.
Little do they know.
It is not easy. No fucking way. But, you know, like you say, we're here. We're going from strength to strength. And we're now hellboundbooks.com. Hurrah! Which means, unfortunately, all the business cards and bookmarks and everything, so we'll keep the Hellbound Books publishing until they've all run out. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go. I waffle on, and it obviously something happens now. What could it be?
You have a button to push.
What could
Samantha?
It be?
We have jumped. Samantha. Yeah.
No, you've got to say it right. You've got to say a full name.
The lovely Samantha Hawkins.
Lovely Samantha.
Oh, hey. looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Well, the lovely Samantha. Hello.
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
So, I meant to ask last time, Samantha, on a scale of 1 to 10, just how lovely are you?
Today we're not lovely at all because one kid is snotty. The other kid has a fever. The kid with the fever is mad that we have to miss our 100 and something days of school celebration. My son was supposed to have an ENT appointment tomorrow to check on like his tube placement. We have to cancel it. This is like the third time we've rescheduled it. I'm with James. I think I would appreciate a refund on all of 2022.
Yeah, it sounds like you've actually had, and it's great. It's nice for me. You've actually had a worse week than I have. So thank you for that.
Yes, we were talking earlier. That's no what end. I was thinking about. I was like, man, he has no idea.
I bow before you, and you're weak worse than mine, so you win this round.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm telling you, these young kids, it's not...
No. Mm. No. I'm glad. Oh, my son is now 18, and, you know...
Wow.
It's getting easy. I know. That's the baby. The baby is 18, and I do not know how I feel about this because there's still, you know, whenever something happens, I'm like, but he's just a baby, but he's not. And so it's a weird position for mom to be in now. But, I have to let him grow and fly and it's not easy, yeah.
It is
but
not,
I agree. I don't think I'd trade it for the snotty age, though. I'm glad we're past that. That's definitely...
Oh, it's terrible. My youngest, he's walked around all day with his finger in his nose. I wish he would do something else. I feel him, though. It's pretty bad.
So, Samantha, what book do you have to review for us this evening?
So I picked Get Me Out of This Shimmering Oasis by Lucy Leitner. And prior, well, I didn't know you were going to have her on the show, and I'd, like, read it, and then I caught her thing in Foreigners, and I got to talk to her and stuff. And so I kind of got to go over with her how, like just about the book, and it really helped me better understand it. But it's very interesting. It's really, really short. It's only, literally just, 14 pages, I think. The whole read is in Instagram posts.
Oh, wow.
And it's really, really cool. And it starts off, like it's calm and everything's going good. And then it starts to get kind of creepy and you're not sure what's happening. And for it to be so short, the buildup is great. I really was confused the whole time I read it because I wasn't really sure where it was going or what was really happening. But afterwards, it kind of just made me feel like it was about social norms and how you only see, like, what somebody puts on social media. Because this girl is only posting what she wants you to see about being in this mental, like, wellness facility. And the cover just makes you feel fabulous when you pick this book up. I mean, like, when you pick it up, it made me feel fancy because the cover is so awesome. I think she said her sister painted it. It was like a painting, and then they used it for the cover. It's like so cool. I want to hang it in my house. I thought the story was great. For it to be all an Instagram post, I felt like a real mental awareness, health vibe there. And she actually says, too, that wasn't the original title for it. And that story is pretty interesting from what I caught in Horror Nerds. I haven't read anything else by her, but I think this one is just great because she packed such a powerful punch in just a couple of pages.
Mm-hmm. I'm over here trying to look for the cover now because I have to know what it looks like.
Oh, my gosh, it's so amazing.
Yeah, you know, I don't think authors know or understand just how important a good cover is. I mean, you know, especially if you're in a bookstore and you're looking for something to read, that is the first thing that's going to grab you. And, you know, I've seen a lot of books on Amazon and some of the authors that I know that will just put out something and it just has this I'm just an ebook author. You know, you've seen those covers before that you just know they didn't put a lot of time or effort into it, and you can tell.
And it doesn't draw you in. This one really draws you in. I have my collar Kindle. My dad got me a Fire. I call it my collar Kindle, and I was like reading it on there, and I felt fancy reading it there. I was like, look how pretty this is.
Yeah, I mean, we had Chad Lutsky on the show a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, he was talking about how he likes to pick out the covers even before he starts a story, and I'm thinking, that's my kind of, you know, author right
yes.
there, because, you know, you see it, you know what you want, even before, you know, so yeah, that's really cool. So yeah, that's a note to all the authors out there, artwork matters.
Yes, it does matter. That is so important. And the blurbs and, like, the things on the back, all of that matters, at least for me, maybe
it
not
does.
For everybody, but I read all of that. So please make it interesting.
Yes. Yeah, and I like the physical book. So, I mean, just when you hold it in your hands and you're looking at, you know, the back and the spine, and, you know, that's definitely something that at Hellbound that we try to make our covers look really nice, and, you know, even the
There's
spine
nothing
and
better
the
than
back
a physical
of it.
Book.
Yes, yes, I definitely
There's just
agree.
Nothing better than that.
It's true. So now how many stars would you give this?
You know, I don't remember what I gave it in my review, but since I got to sit in with the horror nerd thing and understand it a lot better, I think it's a total 5-star now because it kind of came full circle. That thing in horror nerds lasted quite a while, so I felt like we got a whole lot of education there because it has, like, a really cool backstory. The whole thing about it is just so cool, the whole story.
Awesome. I can't wait to read it now. But
And it's so short. I mean, you could just read it on lunch. I mean, it is so short, and I had
right.
to read it twice. It was so short to understand, but, I mean, I loved it, and that cover, it's just so awesome. You need it for your bookshelf.
Awesome. I definitely do. I think we are going to put you on hold for a few minutes and bring Lucy on, and if you have any, like, maybe questions for her or something, or you can say hi to her,
yeah.
give her a shout-out, but now I'm definitely anxious to hear about this book. So, yeah, we'll put you on hold, and then I'll introduce Lucy, and James, you got to push buttons now, okay?
I'm waiting for you to do the introduction properly, actually.
Okay. Our second guest of the evening is transgressive fiction author Lucy Leitner. Woo!
Hello!
Hi, I love that round of applause.
There you go. We got all our studio crew in especially to do the round of applause for you. I'm gonna sound ignorant here, but what is transgressive fiction? I honestly have no idea.
So we were trying to figure out, working with Bloodbound Books to try to figure out what to call me. Because what I do, like, I'm, you know, part of the horror community, and my first book was published by Necro Publications like 10 years ago. So I was I'm kind of in this community with, like, a lot of the extreme horror people, and that's really not what I do at all. It's always just something that kind of, it's like a little bit subversive, elements of satire. Everything's really dark, whether it's like a dystopian or a horror story or, like, I don't know, I love detective stories. So I've done some stories that are basically like, they're the format of a detective story. So it was just all really dark, and it all says something, and it all says, generally says something like that a lot of people might not want to hear. So we settled on transgressive.
I like it. I do. It kind of reminds me, just hearing you describe yourself, kind of like Chuck Palahniuk, and he was always one of my favorite authors as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that
Matter
was
fact,
what
James,
I was kind of thinking about as well. Yeah, that's probably, he's a huge influence on me. When I first was, like, starting to write, it was him and Hunter Thompson. Those were the two that I worshipped when I was in college and started writing.
Yeah, my son reads. He doesn't read anything like horror. He's very he's got a very odd taste. He likes Dostoevsky and Gogol and stuff like this. And I had him read the back of a Chuck Palahniuk book. I'm like, you just read the back, just read the back. And he did, and I had him read the back of Choke. And he's like, what in the world? And I'm like, yeah, it's just as good as that, too. I mean, you know, you take all these different things and you shove them into one book. And, you know, I mean, on the outside, you're going, what the hell? But it works, and it's good. And, yeah, he won't read it, but he was very intrigued.
I can't imagine. Like, I remember when I saw the premise for that. Like, I think I read – I don't know if there's a Palahniuk book that I've read that's taken me more than 3 days.
Mm.
Like, everything that I've read, I've just blown through.
Wow. Did you read Pygmy by Chuck Palahniuk, James? You either?
No, I haven't read that one, no.
Have you?
I've attempted to read it 2 times.
Yes.
I actually started trying to read it again over the summer, and I was like, I got farther than I did the first time I tried to read it, and now it's just sitting on my nightstand, and I've probably read 20 books since then.
Yes, like I want to so bad, and I try, and it's like it gets a little easier each time. But being in that guy's head and, you know, broken English, and you're just like, sometimes you have to read the same paragraph 3 or 4 times just to figure out something simple. But it's a trip, and it does make me just think, I don't even know. Like, if I could talk to him and just be like, what? What were you thinking? I think if we could get through it, we would be, like, amazed. Be like, wow. You know, so.
And eventually,
maybe we should,
like,
We should buddy read it together and, you know, help each other through it.
I can see it from here, and I have it, like, marked to halfway. So get to halfway, and definitely buddy read the rest.
All right, I'll let you know as soon as I get there. He's amazing, though. But, yes, I can't wait to hear more. I feel like I feel like I know about it now, even though I haven't read it or anything. But where's the title there? Yeah, Get Me Out of This Shimmering Oasis. So tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so I work kind of for myself. Most of my income is from being like a marketing advertising copywriter. And I do a lot of like social media stuff, and primarily for in the wellness industry. So I see a lot of posts by people in the wellness industry, and work with a lot of like brand ambassadors and influencers in that space. And I kind of saw all these interesting patterns to a lot of these wellness influencer women. They all appear to be about my age. I'm 38, so like, you know, mid to late 30s. And they all had a lot of health problems that motivated them to become wellness influencers. And a lot of things that they were medicating for, and a lot, honestly, some of it to me seemed a little bit dubious. Like they had, you know, food sensitivities that they didn't know about until they took a test. And it just seemed like they were getting that there was something wrong. Like something wrong, and then they were getting very manipulated by brands in the wellness space that were basically convincing them that they had problems that they don't have, to sell them products that they don't actually need. And I was kind of looking at this and seeing all, like, and kind of seeing this, and it's kind of sad because, like, that's no way to live, you know?
Right,
and,
right.
And so, but then I don't actually know, because it's all just things I'm observing from Instagram posts. So I wanted to write, like, this character who was taken to, who was given, like, she's like an influencer, and she is given the opportunity to spend a weekend at this, like, wellness retreat. But I'm not going to make any, like, I mean, I don't actually know what's going on in these people's heads. I'm only seeing, like, what Samantha was just saying on her review. I'm only saying what they want me to see. So that's why I decided to tell it in social media posts. Like, it was almost like found footage. But in this case, found footage from, you know, 2021. Yeah, so you would see, like, it on Instagram as opposed to, like, finding a VHS tape somewhere. So, like, and I did want to leave it ambiguous as well as to what's actually going on. And because putting her, that's, like, the most, that's an unreliable narrator for you. Someone that is in this situation, having this type of experience and only telling you what she wants you to, what she wants, I mean, you know, like 30,000 strangers to see. So that's the story behind it.
I like it. I do. And I definitely want to hear more. Did you have an excerpt to read for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to read like the first three of her Instagram posts from this, which is basically as far as I can get in the story without like it, without totally blowing it up, like, you know, because it is so short. So this, so this is about like, I mean, 5 minutes of me reading out loud, which is probably about like a quarter of the story entirely.
Okay.
So,
all right, whenever you. Yep, whenever you're ready.
All right, cool. All right. Instagram feed post, at wellnesswarrior497, 10:02 a.m., June 25th, 2021. Guys, so many good vibes here. This is where I'm spending the weekend. I cannot believe it. Do you see that lush greenery and that building? Lux, absolute lux. That red brick exterior is like so homey, but you know inside is just amazing. I'm so blessed that I've been invited to the pre-opening of Luna Bon Wellness Retreat. Seriously, how lucky am I? I'll be spending the weekend at this amazing facility whose mission is to elevate wellness. And all I have to do is share my experience with you. Those flowers in front of the building, OMG. I'm feeling more well already just being outside. Can you see it on my face in the selfie? I feel like I'm literally glowing. I have more collagen already, and I'm not even inside yet. Hashtag wellness retreat, hashtag let's get well. Instagram Live, at Wellness Warrior 497, 10:57 a.m., June 25th, 2021. So this is my room. This is a weighted cooling blanket. It's so comfy, like I'm being hugged by a snowman. And it's made from organic bamboo, like the wisest plant. Game changer. No windows in this room? That's like the ultimate blackout curtains, isn't it? Oh, and here, glasses that block blue light from my phone and a sleep mask. They really understand the importance of sleep here. As you know, I've dealt with insomnia for years. It's part of my lupus and Epstein-Barr as well as my general autoimmune issues. I've always had trouble finding products that work. I've had some success with variations of these products, so I'm super, super stoked to try these. They really look top of the line, don't they? And check these out. Super cute loungewear, huh? They said that's pretty much the uniform here. I will be in total comfort the whole day. We often don't think about how our clothing is holding us back and impeding our wellness, how much stress we endure just because a waistband is too tight or too low or too high. We stress and stress and stress and that it doesn't look good. So grateful for this super soft loungewear. The white fabric, oh my God, you guys. It's like being in a silky cloud, but that's not even the best part of my room. Meet my roommate. You know her as at Lulu Lunges on Instagram. Yes, the at Lulu Lunges who made those killer booty builder programs that got you and I both that sexy quarantine butt. This just makes it for me. Kinsey at Lulu Lunges waving at my followers. Love it. Can't wait to experience the rest of what this amazing place has to offer. I'll be checking in throughout the day. Keep following along. I bet you guys are going to be booking your stays here in no time. Hashtag wellness, hashtag stay well. Instagram Live, at Wellness Warrior 497, 1:43 p.m., June 25th, 2021. OMG, guys, I just had the craziest experience. You probably think I'd sound pumped, but honestly, I'm a little bummed. Not bummed like it's a bad experience, but bummed like bummed. Let me explain. I was in this room, all white, and the walls were padded. It was like a moon bounce, but all white and no scary clowns, and it was totally silent. I mean, silent. I thought I'd hear silence. I thought I'd heard silence in the sensory deprivation tank I told you guys about last month. That is not silence. That tank makes noise. This room was silent as the crypt. Since it was padded, I couldn't even knock on the walls for sound. If you've never experienced total, complete silence, it's like emptiness, nothing, just you and nothing. You're so alone, like you're in outer space where no one can hear you scream. Not only are you alone, you have no clue when they're going to open the door, which you can't even see because there's no handles on the inside, and it's padded too and looks just like the rest of the room. And it's so disorienting because the white costume, the white consumes everything, and you can't tell when the wall stops and the floor begins or the ceiling. So you just have to wait until they let you out and find yourself just hoping they finally do. Because there's this little bit of dread creeping in that maybe they won't. And there's no clock, and you're not allowed your phone, and you have no idea how long you've been in there. You start counting aloud, but your voice over silence makes it so much lonelier. And you stop, and you just wait and wait and wait and hope that soon the staffer in the all-white scrubs will open the door and she'll speak to you. Words. It doesn't matter which ones. Just to let you know there's another person in the world, and it's not just you and emptiness. And that's what you feel, emptiness. You've never felt so alone. Even though you already live alone and you don't see your friends or family often because you're so busy healing your Hashimoto's and sharing your journey, but that room makes you know you're alone, always alone. As you can see, I'm back in my room now. Kinsey isn't. Figures. I could really use human connection. It's weird feeling so low at a wellness retreat, but I'm not worried. After all, Rolfing doesn't feel good while it's happening. Neither does a coffee enema. But they're so good for you in the long run, and this will be too. Just got to think of it as a step forward. It'll be tough, but I've overcome chronic fatigue and continue to battle so much more. Leaky gut, fibromyalgia, I've made those my bitches, haven't I? Oh, and special guest. Guys, Kinsey's back. Kinsey, is something wrong? Kinsey. Got a split, guys. Talk soon. Hashtag booty builder. Hashtag healthy. That's it.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. I think you have totally captured this, like, the generation right now that we're in. With. Oh, my gosh. I thought that was brilliant. I did. And Samantha says it's like 13 pages or something. Definitely see, I think you should expand this and, you know, full length novel, I would read that.
Well, I'm working on one where Lulu Lunges is in it. So it's going to be the same scene, not an Instagram post, but you'll get her.
Awesome. I think we have Samantha back, and I think she wanted to say hi and ask a question or two.
Sounds great.
Hi. I mostly just because I love the cover so much, will you go over the cover story again? Just because I think it really makes me feel fancy.
So my little sister, Wendy, this is basically her style that she does things in. She does a lot of, she went to WashU for art, and so she does these paintings with ink. That's not paint, that's all ink on the cover. And
oh, that's
so
ink?
She just throws on these, yeah, it's all
ink. Oh, my gosh, that is astounding.
Yes, ink on paper. I don't know anyone else who does stuff like that. But, yeah, it's ink. So she'll paint these abstract things with ink, and then she does like an ink drawing kind of on top of it. And she's done it with other, like a lot of other subject matter and everything. And I talked to her in the spring because I had this story, which was going to be about like, it has to do with a woman basically being trapped in her house with an insane husband. And I asked her, I was going to self-publish that on Tagadlist. And so I asked her, I sent her the story, I asked her if she wanted to do a cover, and this is what she came up with for that. Well, in the meantime, Bloodbound Books had asked me to put a story in their Blood Bank charity anthology, And I actually thought that that story fit really well in that. So I just thought, as I asked my sister, I was like, you think we can use this cover for Get Me Out of the Shimmering Oasis? And she's like, oh, absolutely, 100%. And so I just took what she did. I did a little bit of, like, enhancing the color, and then I did the type with the gold, the shimmers, and all that, and the sparkles. And yeah, Mark from Bloodbound helped me format and get it, like, get the layout right. So it was like a, you know... big, a lot of people involved, but I actually, it was funny, Samantha, you said you would hang this in your house. I have mine
absolutely
hung
would.
Up in my living room, the original one. It's framed and hung up downstairs.
I am so jealous of you. I, like, want you to ask Wendy to paint me one, because, like, it is so nice. And I also like to give props to her, because I can tell it was, like, you know, like, well thought out, and she took that mm-hmm. time, and I think it fits the story perfect.
Awesome.
Like, the first thing I want to tell people is about that cover when I talk about your book.
I still want to see it. I have not seen it yet, and I'm actually stalking your Instagram right now, Lucy, to see if I can. I know, right? Right. I did see your one post here, the Gillian Flynn book, Dark Places. That was such a good book, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's fantastic. That was another one that I just blew through.
Yeah. Did you read Sharp Objects?
No. My boyfriend and I watched the HBO show over the summer, and that's gotten him kick of buying Gillian Flynn books.
Yeah, what did you – I loved it. I really did. I watched it with the boyfriend, and he is not a fan of, like, the slow burn, but I just – I loved
boyfriend,
it. I really did.
Either.
Oh, see, I just thought it was great. The book was just good.
He's working through Gone Girl right now, so soon I'll have to read that one. We don't own Sharp Objects yet, but I'm sure we will.
I think out of all three, I think Sharp Objects was the best. Dark Places was really good, though. In my opinion, anyway, for whatever that's worth. But I'm a big fan of hers too. She's really good. I love the fact that once you think you have it, you're like, oh, I know what's going to happen. And no, you don't. So that's the amazing part.
No, I was so wrong so many times.
Definitely. I don't think, in Sharp Objects anyway, there's no way I'd guessed who done it then. I mean, not even in a million years. So, which is amazing. So, yeah. So, I think we only have a few minutes left here, but tell us what you're working on now.
Right now I have coming out actually next Monday. I think Monday. Is that the February 1st? February 1st. So Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, actually. I have I've been collaborating with Drew Stepik and John Baltusberger. The three of us have been doing this ridiculous parody series called Godless League. It's all action sequences. It's completely ridiculous. My character has, her parents were killed by a drunk driver when she was a baby, and her legs severed and replaced with these robotic weapon legs, and she just kills drunk people. And so it's meant to be ridiculous. Like, that's the whole premise of all three of our stories. John Baltusberger is like he's got an Orthodox Jew who has knives coming out of his body and stabs Nazis. Like,
nice.
Of Godless. Do you think that we'll ever... No. Yes, I agree with that. No, but speaking of Godless, I was wondering, do you think we'll ever get, like, an extreme novel from you?
Oh, I don't think so. I have probably the most extreme thing that I've written is my contribution to the fucking Scumbags Burn in Hell series, which is called Karen.
Yes, Karen.
Nice.
She does a lot of Karen things and then really, really bad things. And she meets with a pretty, the series is called Fucking Scumbags Burn in Hell. You could, like, surmise what's going to happen to her. But so that might be the most extreme. But honestly, I don't really read a lot of extreme horror. I like all sorts of things. I kind of veer more into, like, a lot of my stuff is gonna have more violence than Get Me Out of the Shimmering Oasis. But on the horizon, I have like a 160-page book about a wellness cult coming, which I
yes, I'm excited about that one.
I'm really excited about it. I'm very pleased with how it's turning out. And I'm just waiting.
I hate to do this, but we're going to run out of time. I'm so sorry, Lucy. You have
no
to
worries.
Promise to come back. You have to promise to come back.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yay.
Anytime.
Awesome. I will definitely be
talking
to
you.
Yes,
that was so much fun.
Yeah,
thank you
guys.
So much for
great.
Coming on the show. And, yeah, I can't wait to have you back. And, Samantha, we will talk to you again next week. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, it is time. I'm still here. I would say time has beaten us. So thank you so much for joining us. No, I think she's already gone. Okay. it is unfortunately time to say goodnight, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you like I do. Don't know why I love you. Don't know why I care. I just want your love to share. And I wonder why I love you like I do. Is it because I think you love me too? I wonder why I love you like I do. Like I do. I wonder.